Good morning. It's good to see everybody on this beautiful second Sunday of Lent. It is becoming a marvelous spring, and I don't know about you, but this is my favorite time of the year when new life breaks out, and it is just fun to watch the old dead plants come back to life. Gives me hope for myself. We do are sad in our announcements to note the death of Fran Lewis this past week. Fran was ill for a little bit under hospice care, and now she has been gathered back unto our Father, and we give thanks for her life. Her service will be Saturday, visitation prior to. Walter, you told me what time, but it has slipped away.
Visitation at 1, service at 2:30.
That'll be this Saturday. So come and be a part of remembering her. Other announcements. I am glad to note that the nominating committee has found their nominees for the pulpit nominating committee. I'm going to call on Alice to tell us who the lucky victim members are. I hate to put you on the spot, but I can't remember.
Okay. So we're so excited to nominate Leanna Mayo and Julie Tharp and Jody Johnson and Steve Farrow and Jay Hoskins.
You remembered. All right. Give Alice a round of applause. And those came, that committee was formed after only one meeting of the nominating committee. And that is unheard of in the Presbyterian Church. And it tells me two things. First of all, it tells me this is a very healthy leadership in this church, willing to do the work that needs to be done. And secondly, it tells me you just can't wait to get rid of me. So, other announcements in our life as church. We are going to be having our one great hour of sharing. If you haven't picked up your fish, I think there are still some out there. You can color them, you can put money in them, you can bring them Easter and following, and we will go and support this. This is our offering that funds principally Presbyterian disaster assistance. And it just seems like there are more and more disasters happening in the world, and we want to give them our fullest support. Throughout Lent, we are receiving your Lenten reflections. If you care to write up something, you can send it to Jean, and she will get it on the Facebook in good order. So make sure to be a part of that. On Sunday school, the adult Sunday school class is experiencing Witness at the Cross by Amy Jill Levine, and it's a great study. Next Sunday, we'll be studying the soldiers at the cross, so come and be a part of that. Let's see, next Sunday at 2 p.m., following the second Sunday fellowship lunch, you can see how I melded two announcements into one. We're going to be having a Deo Clinic concert featuring Becky Buller and Ned Lubarecki, did I get that right? Any last names that have more than two syllables, I'm just not any good with, I'm afraid. So, but Ned Lubarecki, and we need some volunteers for that. So please let the church office know if you would like to be a greeter or an opener-upper or a shutter-downer following all of that. And we do have, of course, second Sunday, fellowship lunch, one of my favorite activities, and so that'll be fun for next Sunday. Let us know you're going to be here. Any other announcements in our life together as church? That just seems like a lot going on. I did a funeral yesterday down in Atlanta in Midtown, and one of my former members, Jeff Dore, who used to be a reporter on Channel 2, if you ever watch such, made the comment to me afterwards that every time I hear you speak, you sound more and more like Froghorn Leghorn. Now I don't know where he got that from now. Let us come and worship the Lord together. Let us pass the peace of Jesus Christ.
Please stand for the call to worship. We are gathered here in the light of day, yet there are those who can only come by night. How do we show them God's love? We shine the light of His Son so that they may find the way. The way home is here. Let us welcome our brothers and sisters. For God so loved the world that we share it with all. And let us pray. We are on the journey, O Lord, moving by day and night to find again your love for all. Help us in this hour to hear your voice, reminding us that your love is constant, your steadfastness is eternal, and the way home is illuminated by your vision of what we will be when we arrive. Amen.
Yeah.
be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First, as we pray in silence. And shall we pray together? We are poor representations, Lord Jesus. You call us to reach out to the lonely, the hungry, the poor, and the diseased. You call us to reflect your love and compassion for the lost and the least. But we have neglected your example and hidden behind our own dreams and visions. Redirect and refresh us with your grace. Inspire us with your love for the world and call us anew to be your ambassadors to the world. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Now we'll have our time with the children. Ask the young ones to join me up front.
What is that, he says.
Come find out. And we have Lila with Leafy with us today. All right. Y'all want to say hello to Leafy? Yeah, say hello. Well, good morning. Oh, we got to try one more time because I didn't hear Leafy that time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ah, so good. Okay, thank you. This is called a kaleidoscope. You look in it and you see different colors. This is a very old one, and it's got two wheels, and you can make the wheels go in different directions. Feel free to look at it. It's a little heavy. Be careful. Miss Vicki used to manage an art glass gallery in Atlanta, and she bought me one of those. She never brought home a paycheck. She just brought home kaleidoscopes and stuff. But that's okay. We have quite a wonderful collection. That light I see now. There you go. Yeah, wow. It is pretty, thank you. You can look at it one more time. The neat thing about kaleidoscopes is the light in the room goes through all those different sliced geodes.
And those are geodes that have been sliced. And it shows all different colors and designs and all kinds of neat perspectives on things. A kaleidoscope takes the light that is here and makes it even more beautiful. Have you ever heard of the expression, looking at life through rose-colored glasses? Maybe not. Okay. It means to look at life through a certain filter. If you go to some old churches, you'll see these things called stained glass windows. And the light from outside comes in, and it makes a beautiful, beautiful sight. The same thing is true for us as Christians. We look at everything through our love for each other and through our love for Jesus Christ. It's kind of like a kaleidoscope that takes what is there and makes it even more beautiful. Oh, there you are. And you are just as beautiful as you are right there. We look at things through different filters, different colors in our life. Let's remember to always look at each other through the light and the lens of Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's pray together. Holy God, we are grateful for the ways in which you make our world beautiful, for the colors and designs and the people and the places that are all here. Grant your blessing, we pray upon your small servants, that we who guide and teach them may do so in ways that glorify you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'll see you next Sunday.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Listen for God's word. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans. Listen for God's word. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something else. But to one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression. For this reason, the promise depends on faith, in order that it may rest on grace, so that it may be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Adam. Choir, always a blessing. Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the third chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, reading verses 1 through 17. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we receive your word. We have heard it read, and now as we hear it proclaimed, may it become a living thing in our lives and in our days, that we, your children, may bear witness to your grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, you have to admire Abraham. Abraham just sitting there one day outside of his tents, watching his flocks, seeing his servants hard at work, and all of a sudden God interrupts his reverie and says, get up. Get up and go to a place you know not, but which I will show you, and there I will make of you a great nation. And I imagine Abraham said, huh? Must have been a bad piece of goat I had last night. Maybe that wine had gone bad. Lord, are you sure you want me to go somewhere? Yes, Abraham. Get up with your flocks and your herds and your family and your servants. Pack it all into a station wagon. We are heading out. And Abraham said, okay. That is not the usual response that we would give to God, because we as a people are very comfortable where we are, in our homes, in our lifestyles, in our hopes and in our dreams. We've got it all pretty much settled down. I don't know about you, but at my age, ambition doesn't quite play the same role it used to. Oh, in my ambitions as a young man, I was going to be the next Billy Graham. I was going to have crusades bringing hundreds of thousands to the foot of the cross. Then I woke up. Went to seminary, discovered that Billy Graham does a lot of work. Work is a four-letter word, and the clergy do well to avoid such. Yes, I did just say that. I've been working on that one for a while. We get into our places of grace, our places of hope, our places of our dreams, our places of our comfort, and we do not want to be disturbed. I have my recliner at home. It is the ugliest recliner in the history of mankind. Do you remember the show Frasier and his father's recliner that Frasier was always trying to throw out, patched up with duct tape, stuffing coming out of it? Yeah, mine makes that one look like a piece of art. But it's comfortable. It fits me from the back of my legs on up to the back of my head and everything in between. And every now and again, Miss Vicky wants to get rid of it because it doesn't go with our other decor. But it's mine. I like it. I'm comfortable in it. It has been my friend for many, many years. And there it sits, my little altar to self-sufficiency, my little place of comfort. And I will not have it changed out. Now you just watch. I'll get home this afternoon and it'll be gone, and something brand new and sleek will be sitting there. And that will precipitate a come to Jesus meeting between me and my beloved wife. Abraham picked up and did as the Lord told him. And you and I need to have an appreciation of what that meant. It meant leaving behind everything that was comfortable. It meant leaving behind everything that was known. And it meant marching out into the future. Now, fast forward a few centuries. Nicodemus here is a new Abraham. He's coming to Jesus by night. He has left behind his traditions, his dignity, his standing. God has called Nicodemus, go see what's happening with this young rabbi. And so he does. Goes out in faith no less than Abraham did. And he goes and he says, good rabbi. No, not, that's a different passage. Rabbi, we know that you are a man sent from God, because no one can do the kind of things you do unless God is with him. It was a confession of faith. We know that you are sent by God. Now, the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes, if they had seen and heard him do that, they would have snatched his union card in a flat second. But he didn't really care. There was a burning need to understand what is going on. And the understanding moves itself into the question of this quandary. What must we do? And Jesus says, well, it's very simple. You must be born from above. Now, what does that mean? I have seen every bumper sticker that there ever was made that had a variation on the saying, you must be born again. And Nicodemus has that same understanding. Nicodemus has a hard time with metaphors. And Jesus is the master of the metaphor. Nicodemus is reflected of those people who want everything they read and study to be black and white. And Jesus is more than happy to upset Nicodemus's art easel with shades of gray. You must be born from above. What on earth does that mean? Well, it means you need to be willing to adopt, accept, adapt to a way of thinking that is different from the black and white world in which we live. You must be willing to consider that God is about the task of doing something today to get us ready for tomorrow. Being born from above is not one of these great emotional experiences, although I don't discount that for people. That is not usually the Presbyterian way. We are not people of great emotional display. We are the frozen chosen. And most of us have grown up in the church. Most of us have been exposed to Christianity from our earliest upbringings. And so when we come to this born from above quandary that Nicodemus has, we look at it differently. This is not something strange and new for most of us. This is something we have been spoon-fed from infancy. Now, a lot of my friends who are of what we call the frontier religions, which are more exuberant and emotional, they had this born-again experience where all of a sudden the light opened up, heaven came down and filled their souls. And they start telling us all about it, and then we begin to feel guilty because we didn't have that. And Jesus would say to us about this being born from above stuff, you don't have to have that. God works in each one of us in ways that perfectly fit us. When I was about 17 or 18, a lot of my friends had this born-again experience. And some of them began the glossolalia, the speaking in tongues. And they kind of looked down on me, down their noses, because, first of all, I hadn't had this dramatic born-again experience. Second of all, I didn't speak in tongues. Therefore, if A and B, then C, I'm going to hell. And they had no doubt about that because I didn't fit the mold, their mold. You can't hardly go to a football game or watch one on TV
without seeing John 3:16 on some poster somebody made, usually hand-lettered, hanging off a rail.
I'm not sure what kind of good that does to people, but I know it does make a lot of people feel guilty because they don't know what that means and they feel they are lacking something. I'm not sure that the kingdom of God is terribly well served by that, but then again, I'm just in sales, not management. Being born from above simply means that we can see life through a different lens. We can see life in new and beauteous ways because God has been with us all of our lives. God has been with us throughout all our days, guiding and coaching and urging us along. And all of us can see God pretty well focused in the rearview mirrors of our lives. We can see where God has been, how He has gotten us where we are today. And yes, even if we are in places of comfort and ease and security, that's because God has given that to us. Does that mean He's not going to call us to do something different in the days, weeks, years to come? No. It just means for right now, we're okay where God has placed us, and we need not feel guilty about that. Abraham took that same tent with him all the way to the Oaks of Mamre. Same tent, same family, same flocks, same herds, same servants. And he took his ease there and waited for God to call him and fulfill the covenant. God's got great things planned for us at First Presbyterian Church of Dalton. God's got a great plan. And right now, we're in the position of listening. Listening and discerning. And when the time comes for us to go out into new paths of ministry, we will be ready. One of the great things about being a smaller church is we are adaptable. We are flexible. And we are listening. Being born from above, Jesus said, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world through him might be saved. You know, a lot of the born-again folk, they don't really cotton to that 17th verse. Sometimes, if you don't fit into the mold, they would just as soon you not be saved. But the Bible says, God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn anybody, but rather to save everybody. And that includes the frozen chosen. That includes those of us who have finally reached a part in our life where we're pretty comfortable. But that comfort does come with a cost that we must remember, and that is that God might yet call us again to do something. And the good news is, whatever God calls you to do, He's already given you the gifts to do it. So don't worry. Be not anxious. God's love and grace will provide all that we need. And even though we may not fit everybody else's model of what a Christian should be, we do fit the model of Christ as to what we should be. And therein lies all the difference, and therein lies our strength. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for making all of us different, that all of our different life experiences can come together in this place as a holy tapestry of faith, woven by your grace and by your love. We live and serve you and each other. Help us to remember that we are our own model crafted by your hands, and that that is indeed enough. Amen.
receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord.
Please be seated. This is the table of our Lord, and He invites all who come professing His name, however you make that profession, to come and dine with Him and with each other and with all the saints of all the ages. This kaleidoscope is a beautiful little work of art, but the glass and the geodes are all broken. But in their brokenness, they are beautiful and shed light to the beholder in ways that are indescribable. In the same manner also, we are broken when we come to this table. And yet Christ takes our brokenness and makes of it a tapestry of beauty, a thing that together reflects the light of the kingdom in marvelous ways. So bring your brokenness to this table, whatever it may be, disappointments, griefs, angers, bring them all and allow Christ to refashion you in this community to a thing of beauty. We remember Jesus at this table, our Lord and our Savior. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. It is right to give, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right, indeed, it is our joy and our salvation, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise through Christ, your only Son. You are the source of all life and goodness through your eternal word. You have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. When we sinned and turned away, you called us back to yourself and gave your Son to share our human nature. By his death on the cross, he made the one perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world and freed us from the bondage of sin. You raised him to life triumphant over death. You exalted him in glory. In him you have made us a holy people by sending upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit. Therefore, with the faithful who rest in him, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name. In Jesus Christ, in his suffering and death, his resurrection and ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate our redemption with this bread of life and this cup of salvation. Accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer through Christ, our great high priest. Send your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine, which we receive, be to us the body and blood of Christ, and that we, filled with the Spirit's grace and power, may be renewed for service of your kingdom. United in Christ with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honor, and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. We remember how in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. This do as oft as ye eat it in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after they had supped, he took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, shed for the remission of the sins of many. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do break the bread and share the cup until that day when he shall come again in glory. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us keep the feast. blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you, Jeff. Blood of Christ shed for you, Alice. Blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you, Jean. The blood of Christ shed for you, Walter. Blood of Christ shed for you, Joanne. The blood of Christ shed for you, Kay. The blood of Christ shed for you, Sue. Blood of Christ shed for you, Sue.
Thanks be to God.
Blood of Christ shed for you, Dick.
Thanks be to God.
Blood of Christ shed for you. Shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you, Laura. The blood of Christ shed for you, Sue. And for you, Kathy. Blood of Christ shed for you, Sally. Blood of Christ shed for you. It's a to-go package. The blood of Christ shed for you, Sally. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Do we have any others? All right.
Body of Christ.
Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you, the body of Christ broken for you. Let us pray together. For all the great gifts you have given us, O Lord, for love and for grace, for beauty, for peace, for all those things for which we strive, may we do so to the glory of your name. Be, we pray, with those who are ill, those who are fearful, those who suffer from mental illness, those who suffer from any dis-ease whatsoever, bring your peace to them. Bring wisdom to our leaders. Bring hope to our communities. Bring joy to our children. These and all of our prayers we ask in the name of Him who taught us when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now go forth from this place in peace and in joy, listening for the voice of God, knowing that He is not done with us yet, but calls us to new adventures together. So go with the blessing of Almighty God, the Father who created us, the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. Amen.